Today on Real Radio.
You're hiding, let's say, in the children's ministry, but God wants you preaching on the streets. You know what? Get out of there and go for what God's called you to do. Why? Because His call sticks.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series taken from chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, hearing the call of God in your life. Our teacher, Pastor Jack, has decided to make this a mini-series because, well, quite frankly, there are valuable lessons and insights that can be taken from this and other passages regarding our divine calling. And let's face it, who doesn't want to know what their calling is? Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his presentation called Hearing the Call of God in Your Life.
But you've left your first love. Repent, therefore. You've left your first love. Yeah, come on. We got to go. We got to go do it. We got to go to the church. Come on, let's get in the car. Or you get there and look at these stupid parking lot cones. The plastic on these things are starting to crack. This cart that I take them out to the parking lot, the wheel's squeaking. Sounds just like me. Complain about, look at the windows. There's kids' fingerprints all over the windows. Yes, the sign says children's ministry. Enter here. You know, the carpet, I just cleaned it. Or for me, it's, I just preached that message. This is what happens to me. I preach a message on the deity of Jesus. The service is over. I'm standing out there greeting people and someone walks up to me and they say, when are you going to do a message that declaring that Jesus is the Lord, that He's God? And I say, are you coming into the service? Or are you going? I got to know. No, I'm leaving. Where were you for the last hour and a half? Why? We just talked on the deity of Jesus. Listen, I can get so upset with that. That's flesh. That's wrong of me. That's sin in my life. I need to say, I have a tape for you. It's pretty, it's testing, it's trying. And this happens, you know, and you pour your life into something, and all of us are pouring our lives into something. And if we get our eyes off of Jesus, we're wondering, well, how come nobody's noticing? Well, wait, God, who are you doing it for? God notices, He sees it. Oh, yeah, you know, God sees it. Hey, buddy, I got news for you. If people are seeing it, they're not really seeing it. You stop doing what you're doing, and you may not get a phone call. Somebody may not even miss you not doing it. Well, I've been, you know, greeting. I greet every person at every service, every week, every year since this church started. And I got sick and nobody called me. I know how you feel. But listen, who are you doing it for? Are you doing it because God called you to do it? Are you preaching because God called you to preach? Are you setting up the cones because God called you to set up the cones? If He called you to set it up, if He called you to preach, what do you need? Do you, as the movie, Chariots of Fire, remember that movie? As Abrams ran for the law and for human achievement, what was the Christian's guy's name? I forget. He ran for the Lord, and when he gave the all-time greatest statement. He said, I have to run because when I run, I sense His pleasure. Oh yeah, that's ministry at its purest. I've got to do this. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, Paul said. When I preach, he said, I sense His pleasure. That's how the call should be in your life. Now on the flip side, His calling will be no doubt overwhelming and trying. God will see to it. But viewed in the spirit, internally, you'll be radically humbled by what God's doing. You're keenly aware of all of your inadequacies, painfully so. You'll feel like God has called the wrong person to do the work that you're doing. That's a good one. I wrote that myself. You'll be elated, though, to be used by God, and sleep will often become an inconvenience because you love doing it. Yeah, you'll be overwhelmed. You'll be tried. But you wouldn't have it any other way. Paul was like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, Paul says, "For you see," or the word is, "you know your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, not many of the great in this world are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame those things which are mighty." So externally, when you're walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit and serving in the Spirit externally, ministry is happening. It's happening all around you now. You're smiling about it. You're excited. You're walking in the faith and looking for more things to do in God's name. And people will say, "Man, what a blessing. Oh, you know, God spoke to you and spoke to me through this, and or you're a joy in my life." And many of us have been in that place when someone comes up and says, "You know, you really blessed my life, and thank you for, you know, being here and serving." And you know, you sit there and you go, "Praise God. Hallelujah." And you know quite how to handle those things. I mean, best thing to do is just reflect that stuff to Jesus. And I think that you're all very good at doing that. But down deep inside, honestly, we all think that the person saying that to us is a big liar. "Pastor Jack, thank you for, the Lord really spoke. And you know, I've never," and I'm thinking, this person's just, and I know it's a terrible thing to say, but that's what I'm thinking. Why? Because I'm a jerk. How can God use me? You say, "Well, you don't really mean that." I really feel that. And up here, you have no idea what goes on up here. Somebody asked me just this last week, "What's your worst day of the week?" And I said, "Sunday afternoons." Why? Because Sunday afternoons, I rehearse three services in my head after third service on Sunday. And none of them come out, or none of the services came out the way that I wanted them to come out. I should have said, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I wish I would have remembered. Oh, and that thing, and ow, and oh. God, is anybody going to come next week? And then I suck it up and go to the evening service and act like everything's fine. Paul the Apostle says, we die daily. And that's true. I'm not going to mention his name because he's very well known and a great guy. But I tell you, he was getting ready to do a wonderful big thing. And behind the scenes, he's chewing his fingernails off and they're starting to bleed. Bleed. You ever seen fingernails that are bitten so bad that they're starting to bleed? This guy's a man of God. He is a man of God. He's being used by God all around the world. Before the service, he's, nobody sees him like that. He's, and then the music stops and the, you know, thousands of people are there. And he walks out there, "Good evening." And you think, who's that? It's not him. He was in the dugout biting his fingernails off. It's the Lord that's on him. Now, there will be no other call. My friend, listen, when God calls you, there'll be no other call. Verse 19 says, "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground." Listen, one call tells all. God will call you once. He only has to call you once, just like he only has to save you once. He'll call you. And you say, "Well, Jack, you know, if he calls me once, am I going to miss the call?" No. He's, remember, with Jonah, he's persistent. But he only calls you once. That is, he's got one call for you. So listen, if in the body of Christ you're to preach, don't try to be a parking lot attendant, because someone will get in an accident. It's not your thing. Get out of it. Listen, if you're hiding somewhere, you're hiding, let's say, in the children's ministry, but God wants you preaching on the streets, you know what? Get out of there and go for what God's called you to do. Why? Because his call sticks. The calling to ministry is progressive, by the way. The more you step out, the more God blesses you at it, and the more he gives you to do in that area. God blesses faithful ministry with more ministry. Isn't that funny? I thought God would bless me with faithful ministry with a vacation. God blesses faithful ministry with more ministry. Romans 11:29, a great passage in the Bible. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and the callings of God are given without repentance." That is, God does not change his mind once he's given you a gift or a call. Isn't that neat? Somebody can live like Eli and be used by God. Remember, Eli prophesied to Hannah, even though Eli was a negligent father and knew all about the sins of his son, never did anything about it. Of course, God judges him later on. It's amazing, isn't it weird? It's a strange thing. Samuel's ministry grew more and more with power and with time. And so does the Bible teach us the same thing. Secondly, verse 20, we see here, there will be no other call than that the call will be continually confirmed in our lives. I love this point. Verse 20, the call will be continually confirmed in our lives. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. I guarantee you, Samuel did not walk around saying, "Hey, from Dan to Beersheba, I am a prophet of the Lord." No, he never said that. God promoted him. God put it in the hearts and into the ears of the people. They knew that the Lord had called him. The call will continually be confirmed. The more that you walk in what God has put upon your heart to do, the more sure you become at it. The more Samuel did, the more God blessed him. The more Samuel spoke, the more God confirmed. Start doing more for him, honestly, and grow more. Hebrews 5:14 says, regarding those that follow Christ, he says that those who by reason of use, that is of their lives for God, use of their senses, have exercised themselves to discernment or to use by God. The more you are used by God and determined to be used by him, the more you become proficient at what he's called you. Verse 21, thirdly, the called will be blessed. You say, gosh, I wish you'd have put that up front in the beginning a week ago. No, save the best for last. The called, that's you and I, will be blessed. Remember we talked about last time when God calls you, it's like, no, please God, don't call me to do that. He won't do that to you. When God says, I want you to do this, you'll be so excited about it. It's like, get out of my way. I got to do this. I love when God puts things on people's hearts in this church. They get all excited about it. I love it. The called will be blessed. Verse 21, then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now how about the Lord appeared again to him in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by experiences. No. By feelings. No. By barking. No. Roaring. By laying in a crib in the fetal position under Christian therapy and reliving your past. This is a big thing now. Nope. By the word of the Lord. You want to get healed? You want to be blessed? You want to grow strong? Get into the word of the Lord. It's great. Samuel found God daily through the word of God. The Lord is more interested, my friend, in the missionary than he is the mission. He's more interested in the servant than he is the servant. God will never prostitute his people. He wants you blessed. When the children of Israel were being kicked out of Egypt, what did the Egyptians do? They gave them gold and rings and get out of here, bless them. They went out rich. God blessed them. Interesting. Paul says, you know what? In this life, I've learned how to be abased, and I've learned how to be abounding. Paul says, in my life, the riches of Christ are mine. He was connected to heaven. That's a great thing. God will never sacrifice his people. I was reminded of this recently. The United States of America is the most respected nation on earth for this next thing that I'm going to mention to you. I found it interesting. The United States of America is the most respected nation on earth for this reason. that the United States will launch submarines, aircraft, satellites, thousands of soldiers just to rescue one man that is downed or captured. Did you know that? I was told this by a U.S. Marine, that the enemy would rather let a U.S. Marine escape, capture, rather than be taken prisoner because, quote, he said, one Marine will bring on an entire nation. Don't you love that? And you know what's true? Remember when Scott O'Grady went down? Born-again Christian, by the way. He gave his testimony on Larry King Live, gave glory to Jesus so much nobody else invited him on their programs anymore. Scott O'Grady got shot down over Serbia. He was down for I don't know how many days. And hiding at times when he said the enemy was poking in the fields looking for him. And he said up to a couple feet away, they had walked right by him. But he had, as those pilots do, some sort of a top secret on his body transmitter. It was picked up by satellite, transmitted to an aircraft carrier. And there were ships waiting and aircraft that went in and pulled the guy out under a hostile environment for one guy. And wouldn't it be great if the Church of Jesus Christ acted like that? The Bible says in Galatians 6:1, by the way, this is all of our call. Brethren, that's Calvary Chapel, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, that's a sin, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Get the submarines, the aircraft carriers, get everybody you can and go after that Christian brother. Bring him back. Bring him back alive. Very exciting. God wants to bless us. I'll be done with this. I jotted some things down that bless me. And they may not mean anything to you, but I'm the one giving this message right now, so I thought I'd say it, because it blessed me. And that is, we have to be blessed by God before we can bless other people. I know that sounds selfish, but you need to change your thinking about that. I know there are legalistic people who will say, stop asking things for yourself all the time. I think, listen, when you pray, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. And before you get into anything else, I think you need to say, Lord, bless me big in whatever way you want to. Because you can't bless others unless you're blessed. And I thought about that today. I remember on March 30th, 1981, some of you may remember this day for another reason, by the way. It was a Monday, March 30th, 1981. And it happened to be my first day at a new job. But it was also the day that President Reagan was shot outside the hotel. On March 30th, 1981, I started a new job at Baxter. Well, it wasn't called Baxter Healthcare at that time. American Hospital Supply Corporation, now Baxter Healthcare in Newport Beach. I remember this. I remember the job was so radically beyond me. As I parked in the parking lot, and I started to walk into the parking lot, I was so overwhelmed by the job that they had given me. I had no business having it. I was so overwhelmed by it. I remember before I pulled out my card, my entry card, my security card, I remember this. Chuck Smith at that time was teaching at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa on Daniel chapter 1. How do I know this? Because Chuck came to verse 9 and it says, now God had brought Daniel into the court or into favor and good standing among the king's officials. And I remember before I pulled that thing out, standing there saying, God, just like Chuck taught us the other night, grant me favor with these people, because I have no business being here. And I put my card in the door, and the door, you know, Magic Kingdom. And as God began to bless, I became the supervisor of that laboratory. I had people underneath me working that had been graduates of honors from Johns Hopkins and Northwestern, and they're working for me. And when I should be cleaning the parking lot. But listen, I jotted these things down. God put me in that position. I began to share Jesus with other people. I remember the manager coming to me and saying, what are you doing here? And I said, what do you mean, what am I doing here? He goes, no, what are you doing here? I said, I don't understand what you mean. He said, I just got a call from personnel. And you know, you ever work for a big company? That's the last thing you want to hear, personnel department. And they said, he said, that personnel said, that any time they call him to free me up, to counsel with somebody, to let me go. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm sitting out at lunchtime reading my Bible. And people are coming up and asking me stuff and sharing their problems. And, well, it got to personnel. And now when there's a problem, they're going to call you. How am I supposed to get any work done if you're going to be running down to personnel? I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know. Listen, I thought I wasn't even supposed to be there. Then God blesses more and more. And because I was a supervisor of the lab, I remember I had a radio installed. And it was on Christian radio. And managers would come in and say, we're going to have a walkthrough pretty soon. Can you please not have Christian radio on when all these doctors come through for this thing? Oh, I would say, all right. I'd comply. But in the lab, Christian radio going? It's great. And about 2 weeks later, I get in the mail an ordination certificate from Calvary Chapel. And it's like, wow. And there's an awesome verse on there that they put. They put John 15:5 and John 15:6 on that ordination certificate. And it says, and I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And then John 15:16 says, you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, it will be given to you. Isn't that great? I loved it. And I thought about this today and putting these notes together. And then I remember in June, it was a summer. And Phil Anderson, we're all praying. There's about 15 to 18 of us in that room. And Phil Anderson walks over during prayer time, puts his hands on my head. And he starts saying, the Lord is going to use this man, and this is what's going to happen. And he's talking out loud in front of these other people. And I'm thinking, honestly, I'm thinking, this old man has snapped. And he began to prophesy, and it was absolutely ridiculous what he was saying. And when he got done, he went and sat back down. When the prayer meeting was over, everybody went home. I was scared to death to tell my wife what he had said. And to this day, I think she's the only one who knows what was said. But I can tell you right now, me standing here, right here, is very specifically one of those things that he had said. And that was in 1982. Why am I saying this? Because I'm glad I know I'm called. Because when there's difficulties in life, you don't have to look to the right hand or to the left to wonder about or to get someone's input. You know. And God wants that for all of us. Seek the Lord, the scripture says, while he may be found. He's got treasures waiting for us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Hearing the Call of God in Your Life. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. In fact, Hearing the Call of God in Your Life is a series within a series because, well, let's face it, we all want to know what our calling is. We'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Monday, and you know what that means. You can catch our television program tonight called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And on tonight's Real Life with Jack Hibbs, you'll see more in an informative and insightful series on marriage. And by the way, this series includes discussions on the biblical roles of husbands and wives, communication in your marriage, protecting your marriage, and a whole lot more. Does that sound good to you? Now, to watch Real Life with Jack Hibbs, you can go to realradioactive.org and click on the banner for the TV program. Or you can go to hischannel.com at 7 p.m., Real Life with Jack Hibbs, every Monday night, 7 o'clock, West Coast time, on his channel. That's hischannel.com or realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you need it, here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.